you and six deep.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts. Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
It is the Monday after the first Packers game, and I think everyone right now is licking their wounds.
But I do love that you're leading with "The Bears Still Suck" as the intro song. I mean, we're already on to week two.
Why are we not good at the season opener?
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
Give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
Thursdays at 11:30, we are joined by Dr. Michael McCutcheon, who is a psychologist, a lecturer, and additionally, he's won 10,000 fantasy football leagues and loves to help people make easy, free money. Dr. Mike fixes your life and your lineup.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
What is dadication?
I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings.
That's dadication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov.
Dad, I picked up your pills, made your lunch, and your laundry is done.
When you care for a loved one, you take care of everything. But are you taking care of yourself? Find free care guides at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Olivia, from Washington. Laid off and trying to keep our little kids from realizing that mommy and daddy haven't eaten in a while.
Roger, from California. I'm grateful we could afford our son's surgery. I'm nervous that now we can't really afford food.
Daniel, from California. Choosing whether to pay the rent or pay to fix the car to get to work doesn't leave us with much at all. Now we can't even pay for meals.
Donna from Louisiana. The storm just hit, and we went from donating to the food bank to needing it.
Keisha from South Carolina. I've been skipping meals so my two kids can eat, but filling up on water doesn't really work.
Hunger is a story we can end. End it at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
What is dadication?
My daughter started making necklaces. She makes what we call affirmation fashion. I tell her every day that your black is beautiful. Your black is beautiful. And if there's anything better than being beautiful, it's being smart. If there's anything better than being smart, it's being kind. And reaffirming that every day is our method of making sure her chin never drops. My dad wasn't around, and I remember riding a bike and falling off and cutting myself, and me never just wanting to get back on it. People ask, how your children learn how to ride a bike, and you didn't. I didn't teach them. I just created an environment where they taught themselves, and all I had to do was be there.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
People do some pretty cool things in their 40s and 50s. Why should saving for retirement be any different? I mean, they go back to college, learn new instruments, start skateboarding.
Whoa!
Okay, maybe that one's not for everybody, but saving for retirement is. With aceyourretirement.org, you can get on track with your retirement savings no matter your age. Just have a 3-minute chat with Avo, the friendly digital retirement coach from AARP. You'll get personalized recommendations based on your input that are easy to understand and work with your lifestyle. It's quick, easy, and free. Plus, it's sponsored by AARP, so you know they got your back.
Gnarly move, Dad.
Thanks, sweetie.
So wherever you are in your retirement savings journey, head to aceyourretirement.org and start chatting with Avo today. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Look through your children's eyes.
and you'll see the true magic of a forest. It's a storybook world for them. You look and see a tree. They see the wrinkled face of a wizard with arms outstretched to the sky. They see treasure in pebbles. They see a windy path that could lead to adventure. When they discover the forest, their imagination is inspired by the smell of pine, the crunch of leaves beneath their feet, the sound of birds calling out for attention. And they see you, their fearless guide through this fascinating forest world. You are the hero in this book. This is a memory being made. This is what they will laugh about years from now. These are the roots, grounding and nourishing them.
Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Then look through your children's eyes and discover the magic all around you. That's discovertheforest.org, brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
It's 4 a.m. and you're sucking baby snot through a tube because she's congested. If you love her that much, love her enough to make sure she's buckled in the right car seat. Find out more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You are listening to pre-recorded content on Devil Radio. To see our station's entire live lineup, check out devilradio927.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. So, Jane, what do you have any podcasts in your rotation?
No.
No podcast.
I'm just radio. I'm a bad person.
I'm not a bad person.
I'm just an older person, and that just isn't. Although I know a lot of older people who do, who listen to podcasts.
You can't find your niche yet.
No, I don't want to listen to it. Too much. You know what I mean? When I'm done from here, I want to take a break.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. All right. Well, our next guest knows a lot about podcasting. He's actually the mayor of Podcast Town, which is his actual title. Podcast Town is a full service podcast company that helps businesses grow their revenue through podcasting. And he's also launched the Podcast Town Academy. Elsie Flanard, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
And so the mayor, is that a self-appointed name, the mayor of Podcast Town?
So, yes and no. I actually got the name from a marketing coach. We were in a meeting and we were talking strategy about where I wanted the company to go. And he pauses for a second and he stares off into space, which is always really dangerous for a creative to do. And he looks at me and he says, Elsie, you know what? You're the mayor. The way you show up, the way you preside, the way you connect people, the way you just go about your business, I'm going to call you the mayor of Podcast Town. And so we started testing it out on social media. And a funny thing happened. My mom calls me one day. She's like, well, you know, if I lived in Wisconsin, I vote for you. And at first, I didn't know what she was talking about because, you know, I'm just going about my day. And I realized she's talking about the social media post that I put saying that I'm running for mayor of Podcast Town. I was like, no, Mom, not a real mayor. Just this is a marketing campaign. And so figured that it probably has some legs. And so we just ran with it.
Where is this Podcast Town? Where is it in Wisconsin? But in reality, you are based in Brookfield, right?
Well, actually, our main location is in Wauwatosa in the Mayfair Collection. There's a co-working space, Expansive, there. So that was our initial studio. But this year, we actually have expanded into Brookfield as well. So we have two locations now.
Oh, that's great. So how did you get into podcasting?
It was almost on accident. I was really sucking it up in terms of my side hustles, trying to figure out how to make them my main hustle. And I figured that the best way for me to make up that knowledge gap was to interview business people who were running successful businesses. And at the time, podcasting wasn't as popular as it is now. So I said, I know what I'll do. I'll start a podcast. I'll get pretty good at listening. I'll ask a couple of good questions and I'll just shut up and listen. I'll ask them the questions that I want to know for my business. So that's what I did. I launched my podcast back in 2016 and just learned from them, learned so much about business and about things to do, things not to do. And that's how we got here today. And I'm kind of fell in love with the medium.
So were you pursuing different entrepreneurship endeavors before starting the agency? That's why you wanted to interview all these business people?
Oh, that is such a loaded question, Kristen. I've done so many businesses, we would be here all day. But to answer your question succinctly, yes, I've tried a lot of different things. And again, I knew that there was something missing. Like I was trying all these things and nothing would work. And so that's where the podcast came in, is because I met so many fantastic, brilliant business people, and they just, and I don't have to tell you, when people get on the radio and on podcasts, they just, they become these experts, and they tell you all the stuff. And so that was my education in entrepreneurship, to be quite honest.
So then the show itself then turned into an agency. So what is what does Podcast Town, the agency, do?
Yeah, so our jam, if you will, is helping businesses grow their revenue through podcasting. Looks a lot little different for every business, but essentially we help them meet their revenue goals using a podcast. So so there's some marketing that happens, there's production, there's creative segments, and all the stuff that goes into crafting a podcast brand, and then we help them bring in new customers using their show.
And then, so there's that side of it, but then you just recently launched the Academy side, correct?
Yes.
So what does that look like?
Yeah, so basically the Academy is me dumping my brain out and sharing all the lessons and the things that I've learned over the years about not only podcasting, but just relationship building, building trust. How do you how do you get attention, right? Because at the end of the day, we're all in the attention business, because you can't sell anybody anything or build a relationship unless you first get their attention, right? And so it's taking those lessons and helping businesses on a group level understand how to leverage their content to benefit their business. And so we're offering different levels of classes. We're offering group sessions. We're also offering youth classes, where we're teaching life lessons through podcasting: how to show up on time, how to show up a certain way every time, consistency, how to work as a team, all of those things through the lens of podcasting.
Our guest right now is Elsie Flanard, who is the mayor of Podcast Town, which is both a full-service podcast company and also, as he was just saying, a new academy. So what are the different classes? As someone, you know, is it more for someone who's brand new, who wants to do something on their own, like a sports podcast, because God knows we don't have enough of those? Or is it more for... the business-minded person who, like, I guess the difference is, like, is it for people who would also potentially be customers of yours from the agency side, or is it more kind of for anyone who just wants to learn more about podcasting?
I would say both. Okay. The program is more geared for people who want to treat their podcast like a brand. So I will say that difference. So if you're a hobbyist, we're probably not the best solution. But if you want to make money from your podcast at some time or some point, or you want to use it to build those relationships, it's for those folks. So it could be run the gamut of different types of people, but it's more of the end goal is what we're shooting for. So if you're a person out there that wants to launch a podcast that someday you want to either replace or supplement your day job, or you're an existing business owner who wants to leverage their existing podcast or launch a new one, the Academy is perfect for you.
Elsie, are there any hard and fast rules about podcasts? I mean, it has to be 13 minutes long, and it should always have music. And, you know, what are some of the, because I know nothing about podcasting, so what are some of the real basics?
So some of the real basics, and this is going to sound cheesy, but having fun is important. I am in the season of my life where if it does not bring me joy, I simply don't do it. So that's super important. Understanding why you're doing the show in the first place. Because a lot of people, they launch a show because it's popular, or they think that they're going to become the next Joe Rogan. And most likely you're not. That's just the reality of
it,
right?
And one of him is enough.
Yeah, I won't comment on that. But really understanding why you want to do it. Having concrete goals on what you want to accomplish, and really just having fun. There are no rules in terms of format and how long it should be. There are some guidelines, right, that depending on what you want to do, you might want to consider. But the thing I love about it so much is it's open. It depends on what your listener wants and what you want to do. So that's the thing that I really love about it is there technically are no rules, right? Like I said, there are some guidelines depending on what type of show you want to build, but it's really a great medium to build and nurture relationships.
So if there's no like hard and fast rules, are there mistakes? Are there common mistakes you see people make when they're trying to start a podcast?
Oh boy, another loaded question, Kristen. Yes, I think the biggest mistake, again, that people make is like, they don't know why they're doing it. They're not paying attention to the details and the quality of their work and focusing on the craft. A lot of times people ask me, what is the number one skill that people need to have? And you would think that that would be talking, but it's not. Is actually listening. Listening is harder. It's easier said than done. But developing those listening skills, understanding when a question lands well or when a question does not land well, how to control and navigate a conversation and really move people to a common connection point, I would say is the biggest mistake that people make is just not paying attention to those soft skills.
How do you teach someone how to do that, though? Asking... because I have a husband who doesn't always listen very well. Just kidding.
I won't go there, but that's what the Academy is all about, is really bringing people into a space where they can learn from somebody who has experience in the area. And we can walk them through some of those things and teach them how to get better in those areas.
So how many classes are you teaching? Because you've already had a full-time job. So how are you balancing this with the customers, and how many classes a week are you teaching?
Well, so I don't have a full-time job now. I mean, this podcast town is my full-time job at this point.
I guess I meant more with the customers, because you're balancing having customers that you're working with the curriculum, correct?
Oh, well, see, that's where having a great team comes in. They, on the production side, they're taking care of customers, they're answering emails and making sure that we're good to go that way. And so I can focus my attention on, you know, right now until it grows to the point where it's beyond me. Right now, I am the instructor, right? The chief bottle washer for the Academy, but I have a fantastic team that handles 95% of the production. And so they do a phenomenal job at taking care of our, we call our clients residents.
I love the ongoing pun of the mayor of Podcast Town, the residents of Podcast Town, just how many other things could you, who's the Secretary of Commerce? The deputy mayor. All right. Well, when we come back, I want to talk to you a little bit more about what you see as the difference between podcasting and radio, because Jane and I have had this conversation before, because especially because you have with the Academy and the studio that you have a live audience component of it. And so I'm interested to hear a little bit more about how the two mediums overlap and still what makes them distinctly different to you. Our guest this half hour is Elsie Flanard, who is the mayor of Podcast Town. Stick with us. He'll still be here when we get back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
He's the one I'm leaving you for.
WAUK will be broadcasting the Waukesha Christmas Parade live, and you can become a sponsor. Call us at 262-232-8164. Sponsorship includes an on-air interview during the live broadcast of the Christmas Parade. A portion of the proceeds goes directly to the Waukesha Memorial Fund. Please call at 262-232-8164. 8164. That's 262-232-8164.
My fine guest, Maggie Dawn, attorney at law. I thought that the laws of the United States were supposed to evolve with societal norms. The vast majority of Americans, 70% approximately, believe that Roe v. Wade should be the law of the land. So that seems exactly contrary to the way the courts are supposed to evolve with our nation.
I'll just say this. The guy in Colorado can't be forced to make a gay wedding cake, but I can be forced to make a baby. I don't know about you, but that makes no damn sense to me.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
I grew up hearing that women are bad with money, but I pay bills and take care of my family, so I'm pretty good with money. And now I'm taking control of my financial future by saving for retirement. Jumpstart your retirement savings at WeSaySaveIt.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy overnight with a low of 35. Southerly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Chance for scattered showers tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 52. Overcast. Scattered rain showers likely tomorrow night. Lows level off around 23. Cloudy skies. Turning much cooler Wednesday and Thursday with highs from the upper 20s to the low 30s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 36 degrees.
Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Our guest this half hour is the mayor of Podcast Town, Elsie Flanard. So Jane and I have talked about this before, Elsie, and Jane has worked in radio for 40 years. I'm pretty new to radio. I only started in the last year a little bit and officially full-time in July. So what do you see as the difference between podcasting and radio?
Well, had you asked me that question 4 years ago, I would say there's a ton of differences. I think more and more, there are fewer differences. I think right now, the as big brands have gotten into podcasting, there's been a settling, if you will, on the difference between podcasting and radio. For a number of years, podcasting was sort of the independent, kind of straight to the point content that people on demand, that sort of feel. But now that's changed. A lot of radio stations also have podcasts, and a lot of stations are slightly adjusting how they deliver content. So the biggest difference, I think, is the expectation and the audience. I think the radio audience still skews older. Podcast listeners tend to skew younger. But I think more and more, they're very, very closely related. I think they're very not so distant cousins that I think play well together in the content generating market.
Because one of the things, Jane, when we first talked about this was the fact that we take live callers. We have live text messages, we have live callers who can still call in and be part of the show. But that's what I thought was interesting when I was reading about Podcast Town and the studio that you have, and that there's an ability to have a live audience. And so that also kind of, I mean, I don't know if the intent for that is to just have the laugh track in the background or have people ask questions live, but what was the motivation to feel like that needed to be part of the studio, as being able to have people there live as an audience?
Oh, it looks like Elsie, I think Elsie froze.
Speaking of technology.
Yes, he is frozen.
Do you have any reaction to what he said as far as being...
I find it really interesting because obviously, and we've talked about this before with Brooke, that...
Elsie, are you there?
He's trying.
I am.
Oh, there we go. Perfect.
All right, great.
The lovely internet. Yeah, so to your point, that's exactly why we do that. I think when you talk about delivering content, I think it's super important to have that live element to it, which is the thing that in the past has made radio so powerful. And I think more and more podcasters are looking for that. That engagement, that level of engagement where, for example, last week, actually, we had a live version of my show where we had a live studio audience where they could ask the guests questions. They could reiterate things that they thought they heard and really get that in-person, real-time feedback. So I think to your point, that's exactly the reason why, you know, more and more podcasters are doing things like live shows and live events for that feedback and that engagement, because being one way is great, but having that one-to-one 3D, as I call it, feedback is super important.
And then I guess my final question is, what would you say, because like you said, being the next Joe Rogan or even creating the next Serial podcast that just takes the nation by everyone was listening to it. It's such a saturated medium. It's become such a saturated medium, largely, I think, because there is a low barrier to entry as far as you need a microphone and commitment. And otherwise, you can kind of introduce yourself into the podcast world, but there's millions of podcasts now. And so for someone who is... has an idea, but like, what would you say to them as far as the arguments as to why to go for it?
Yeah. I push back a little bit on it being saturated because okay. If you look at how many websites there are or how many people have YouTube channels or blog posts, it's not even close in terms of ratios. So I think there's still a cool opportunity for people to leverage the medium. The other thing I would say is the best way is I'll give you a quick analogy. So when I graduated college, I graduated with a degree in electronics. The same year I graduated, there were probably, and I don't have the science or the facts behind this, but there were probably hundreds of thousands of other people who also had the exact same degree that I had. And I never once thought, oh my goodness, it's saturated. I'm not going to get a job. Because I knew that nobody's going to do electronics like me. Nobody has my personality. Nobody has. So I think just really understanding that nobody is going to have the message that you have that's meant to serve the people that you are meant to serve. That, so just do it. If you're thinking about launching a show, just do it.
That is a really good message.
It is a really good message. So what if my passion, Elsie, is tulips and I want to do a podcast only about tulips? How will tulip people find me?
Well, social media is huge, but I think if actually the more niche your podcast is, the better, because you're going to create the best, deepest, most collaborative tulip community on the face of this planet. So if you can find 500 to 1,000 other tulip lovers, you are golden.
I'm going to be the mayor of Tulip Land.
The mayor of Tulip Town. I love it.
All right. Well, Elsie, where can people find all of the information if they want to get more, learn more about Podcast Town, either as an agency or an academy?
The best way is the website, podcasttown.net. Or you can email me. I'm always in front of my phone at mayor@podcasttown.net.
Very easy. Very straightforward. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. This was so fun as far as, and I think you're right. Maybe no one else can, no one else, there's only one you, as they would say, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Just do it. A podcast. Everybody, podcast for everybody.
Everyone get a microphone. Everyone take their best idea and just do it. All right. Elsie Flanard, thank you so much for joining us today. This has been very fun. All right. We'll be back in a minute. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
The SHA 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
We are joined by the 57th Assembly District Representative, Lee Snodgrass. Thanks for being here.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
How do I need to adapt this based on what has changed since I first introduced it? Government does not move fast. I'm sure that's a shocker to all of you guys. Public policy doesn't change until public opinion changes.
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
Life had a remote control. You could pause or rewind. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the 1-minute risk test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
I love this song!
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
What grows in the forest? Our imagination and our family bonds. The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
To protect his family from disaster, Steve used his camera phone.
Done.
By taking pictures of his important documents, Steve can always have them stored online. Learn more simple disaster prep tips at ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figueroa, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny. When I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean. And there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time.
Ugh.
Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Self-monitor your blood pressure in 4 easy-to-remember steps. Self-monitoring is power. Visit managerbp.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Heart Association, and the American Medical Association in partnership with the Office of Minority Health and Health Resources and Services Administration.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. All right, so how much does Black Friday or Cyber Monday or both affect your holiday weekend?
Now, back in the day, a girlfriend and I used to do Black Friday.
Like you'd camp out and you're
Well, we wouldn't camp out, but we'd be up by 4, you know, and then we'd meet at the store and then...
What would you buy?
Deal doorbusters.
I know, but did you? How many? You can only get a you can't get a TV every year.
No, but it was, you know, it was more like gifty things for relatives and for my over, you know, Paul's family overseas and earrings and just little tchotchke things and then we'd go out to breakfast and I'd go home and go back to bed.
What was the best score you ever got?
I think I got some diamond earrings one year that were pretty good.
All right.
But this was a long time ago. We don't gift as much anymore. My family, I mean, you know, I'm one of six kids. When we were growing up, we all drew names. We did that for a while. Now we're all over the country, so it's not like we all get together all the time. And so I really don't have a lot of gifts to buy anymore.
Yeah, that's interesting. So it is, if, in case you didn't know, today is Cyber Monday.
Yes.
Friday was Black Friday. I would love to hear from you. How much do either of those days or the whole weekend affect your holiday weekend? Is this a big part of it? Do you get most of your shopping done? Is it something you just ignore? 844-967-2789. Because I feel like then this may be a me problem. I get a little overwhelmed.
Really?
Oh my gosh. The mind tricks of you're going to miss out on these deals and this is the time to get the thing that you've been wanting. And so then all of a sudden you spend too much time trying to find the best deals and then your cart's full and it's like a couple $1,000. You're like, well, I can't pay for that, but it's half off. So how could I afford not to buy this thing?
How can I not have it?
And, you know, it was Shutterfly was doing their whole like free 4x6 prints. I was like, well, this would be a good time to do all the things for the wedding photos that we got back and gifts because everything's half off. But this feels like a lot of work and I kind of just want to enjoy my weekend before I go back to work. And I feel like the pressure it puts on you, as sales are wont to do, to get it now. But then when you do it online, like on Cyber Monday, the amount of endless choices when it comes to online shopping and how much work it takes to figure out what the right thing is going to be. And I'm terrible at returning things if I just buy it because I just forget. And so I get that there's really good deals. There's really good deals. But it feels like what an awful way to waste a long weekend.
You got to study. Well, you got to study for it, right?
Anxiety of shopping.
And like you said, you have to study for it because you got to narrow it down to at least right four things in specifically. Otherwise, if you go in with no game plan, you're going to, like you said,
you're going to spend too much money.
Well, yeah. And so I guess maybe if you identify four things that you need to get, then it wouldn't be quite so overwhelming, but you got to have a plan.
But this is also so early. Like, I have no idea what I'm getting people for Christmas yet. Like, I don't have a plan. And so so tell me I'm wrong as far as that this is a great tradition as far as kicking off the holiday season and getting the things that you plan to get for yourself or for the others or things that you've been watching and waiting to go on sale. I'm trying to think, what did I actually buy this weekend? I bought a bunch of hair products. Because those were all like 35 to 40% off.
That's pretty good.
So I stocked up on that because it's stuff that I know I'm going to use no matter what. I think there was some stuff for the house that was on sale.
Anything you're going to buy, you're looking for today?
No, because when I go home, I'm going to prep for tomorrow's show. Like, I don't know. The time has passed. I think the time of like all of the stuff that takes a lot of work is like now we're back in like show mode. And yep. So, but it was funny because like you said, like you need to go in with a strategy. And so I wanted, as we usually do on this show, to think of to look up what the history of Black Friday and Cyber Monday actually are. But when you just Google history of, you have to go through probably two or three pages of search results that are just blogs of best deals for Black Friday,
wow,
best deals for Cyber Monday, even adding like the little history part in there. But the amount, how so many different websites do their version of this is where you should get XYZ thing on Amazon and Best Buy and all the different places that are going to be having a deal this weekend. And it's, I feel like it's always comes back to technology as the big ones of some sort, or
the
appliances
tech stuff, yeah,
and stuff like that. But, I did. You want to hear the history that I ended up did find?
Yeah, definitely.
So Black Friday, the original term of Black Friday, do you know where it comes from?
No idea.
It was originally coined in 1869 after a major stock market crash.
Wow.
It happened on a Friday. Yeah, so it's an old term. But then it got resurrected in like the 50s, 60s by Philadelphia police officers. They resurrected the term Black Friday to refer to the chaotic Friday before the Army-Navy football game. Because that was such a big deal in those decades, I guess.
Wow.
Of when Army played Navy, and that all the fans would get to Philadelphia, and it would be...
nuts.
Not so brotherly love-like.
Okay.
And it wasn't until the 80s. It wasn't until the 80s that the idea of Black Friday became associated with holiday shopping. And I guess it was... the name of it had to do with ink. So according to the New York Times, retailers used black ink to indicate profits and red ink to indicate loss. So after Black Friday sales, retailers sold enough merchandise to transition from being in the red to being in the black.
Fascinating.
Hence Black Friday. So isn't that...
that is. Yeah. Look at that little...
look at these little nuggets of knowledge.
Yes, knowledge nuggets.
So it's been like since the 80s as far as us referring to it as Black Friday. I'm sure... I didn't find anything as far as has it always been the big sales that happen the day after Thanksgiving. But interesting as to how that is how we got the name. But the Cyber Monday part obviously didn't come around until we were doing so much online shopping. Mm-hmm. But as that started to happen in 2005, the National Retail Federation officially coined the title Cyber Monday per NBC News. And so, but the shoppers spent a combined total of $10.8 billion on that on Cyber Monday in 2020,
wow,
making it the biggest online shopping day in history.
Wow.
So more people still... so what I found out is, because I was kind of like, do we need both of these things?
Black Friday and Cyber Monday?
Yeah. Because most of the online sales start on Black Friday anyways. I mean, at least the things I see. Like, I've been very honest about my aversion to waiting in line and my aversion to chaotic... there's nothing I want that badly.
Right.
And
to put up with all that chaos.
And maybe that's like a signal of how much privilege or like economic resources I have, that is like, there is no sale that is worth me going and potentially getting trampled or elbowed to the face trying to get Tickle Me Elmo. This is not happening in my future anytime soon. I will pay the full price to avoid that situation entirely. But I don't know. It feels like we don't need both. And it feels like most people... I was reading that even the last couple of years, there's just... while it's still a huge day for in-person shopping comparatively to the rest of the year, it still brings in way less money than Cyber Monday does.
That's really interesting. I just wonder, you know... And I really noticed this year that nobody was open on Thanksgiving, because they've done that in the last few years.
Oh, really?
You would go at midnight, or starting at 8 p.m.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yes,
8 p.m.
Yes.
on Thanksgiving night, and I don't think anybody did that. And that makes me really happy.
Yes,
that makes me really, really happy.
Taking it full circle to the top of the show, where it's like, treat your employees.
Well,
and there are certain jobs you can't, right? If you work in a hospital.
Sure.
We stopped by Mike's grandfather, who's in hospice. He's 96. We stopped by to say hi to him. And I was thinking about that with all the nurses and
sure,
everyone who works there. They were there with him on Thanksgiving instead of with their families. And there's certain jobs where I think service, like care service,
yes, definitely. Medical field.
You know, we're so grateful to the people who do make that sacrifice because of their job. But I'm not really expecting people who are retailers to sacrifice their Thanksgiving dinner.
No,
at all.
No. So you can buy more stuff.
I know.
Again, it's just wait until the next day. And I'm glad to see us getting away from some of that. And I think maybe decades of people getting elbowed and trampled as we buy gifts to celebrate the season of joy and brotherhood, maybe that people finally had enough.
I think it's been, I feel like it's been a while since any of those headlines, like those stories.
The real horrible ones?
Of anyone getting seriously injured or and or dying from shopping. I also have realized I can't tell time anymore. I read an article the other day as far as, you know, the Cats came out in 2017. The movie Cats.
Oh, the terrible
movie?
It's
been that five years since that movie came out.
Wow.
Well, I read a review, a hilarious review that I'm not going to do today. I'm going to read it tomorrow because I realized I need more time than just the 8-minute segment. And so I had to bump it to tomorrow.
Oh, great.
But the idea that XYZ thing or event happened 4 years ago or 10 years ago, just how quickly once you get older, you're like, I don't know. I don't know the last time I heard one of those headlines of people running each other over trying to get into Target.
Well, and don't
it's been a while, I think.
It has been a while, but don't forget, we had 2 years of the pandemic where...
It's true.
You know, there probably weren't a lot of people out in the stores at all. And now I just think that retailers are kind of moving away from that, which makes me happy.
It's not necessary.
It's not necessary. It really isn't necessary.
What would have to be on sale and how much on sale for you to have to get up again at 4 a.m. with your friend to go sit in line?
Boy, you know, because we're at a point in our lives, Kristen, where we're trying to get rid of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And even a group of friends, and we've been getting together for Christmas and to celebrate our birthdays for years now. And I said last year, no more gifts. I don't need another scarf. I don't need another tchotchke. I'm trying to get rid of this stuff so that when I drop dead, it won't be a big pile of stuff that somebody has to take care of. So it's, I don't even know. I mean, if it were a particular ring that I saw about 5 years ago, and if that were 50% off, that might be worth it. Because it was several thousand dollars.
Yeah.
But other than that, I don't need much. You know? I don't need a coat. I don't need a TV. And for the people, you know who I want to hear from? Are the people who actually wake up and there's a car in their driveway with a bow on it. I want to talk to those people. Because you know those commercials are coming.
Of how often that actually happens?
Yes, come on.
Try to think if I know anyone who that's happened to.
I woke up and my husband gave me a car.
I vaguely feel like I have some, I have like one friend.
Really?
That got a car for some kind of gift. I'm totally blanking on who it was and what the story was behind it. And I don't know if there was a big bow on top, but I feel like there's somewhere in the back of my mind, I'm thinking of someone who... Oh, and then they posted about it on social media. And
I could see for maybe graduation or something, but I was just always amazed by somebody must happen. Although, could it be that the advertisers are lying to us and that doesn't actually happen?
Or they're planting the idea that you should do this for her?
That would be so sneaky.
All right, well, we're going to take another break. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
We have to really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice.
Tune in to the Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Only on WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, The Shaw.
Finish your high school diploma for you and your family. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
What is dedication?
People ask, how your children learn how to ride a bike and you didn't. I just created an environment where they taught themselves and all I had to do was be there.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy overnight with lows around 34. Southerly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Chance for scattered showers tomorrow. Highs level off around 52. Cloudy skies expected. Cloudy skies tomorrow night. Scattered rain showers likely, 23. Dry with temps a bit below average Wednesday and Thursday, and highs from the upper 20s to the low 30s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 34 degrees.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
Babe, you need all the friends you can get, I'm telling you.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. So, there's a new... Listen, well, I think I read this and I was confused. Because how many different... Are you a dog show fan?
I will tune in occasionally, sure.
What's your favorite event? I don't even know enough about it, like the events and how...
See, I like the agility stuff.
They're like, da, 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 da.
Yeah, it's when they, the dogs go in and out of the little, yes, like you said. Yes, that.
Well, there's a new good boy. Winston, the French Bulldog, won the 21st annual National Dog Show presented by Purina, which is not to be confused with Westminster.
Right.
Which that is the crown jewel,
yeah,
if I understand
premier.
This world correctly. But he's the first French Bulldog to win this prize. And so
they're very trendy right now with those French bulldogs.
Well, not only are they so trendy, I feel this is just awful. I've been seeing different posts from friends in Milwaukee on social media. Some poor woman has two French bulldogs and someone broke into her house. And when she got home, not only was her house broken into, but the dogs were gone.
Yeah, thieves. Well, that happened to Lady Gaga. That Lady Gaga's dogs were French bulldogs.
Oh, is that, were they?
Yeah.
Well, they're very expensive and they're very trendy. I don't know. I don't know the person who's missing. I think one of I tried to follow it a little bit. I think one of the dogs they might have found, but they said that the smaller one is still missing, which is just the saddest.
Oh.
And it was wild because on vacation, I think similar to a lot of island countries, there's just dogs everywhere and some combination. If they have a collar, they probably are somebody's. If they don't have a collar,
They're just
strays.
Yep.
And I've been to Bali before and it felt like there was more in Bali and there was more that looked sick.
Yeah.
In Bali. But when we checked into our last Airbnb in Aruba, there was three or four that was always around and cats that were always around. And one was our Airbnb host's dog. One had been adopted, so one was a stray dog.
Wow.
And this is what is also, I wonder what the morale, like the, I don't know if morality is the right word that I want to say, but there was a couple who was there before we got there staying at the Airbnb, and they just decided that they wanted to adopt this very sweet small black dog, not small, but like 30 or 40 pounds. And I don't know, I was like, what is the paperwork that goes into that? Because it's just a stray dog. And so they went back to Connecticut or Massachusetts or somewhere on the East Coast. But our Airbnb owners were like, oh yeah, like she's going on a plane on Monday to fly back to the East Coast. I was like, that is a very different lifestyle for this dog.
Big time.
To go from roaming the beaches of Aruba and it's warm every day and I have my free nomad lifestyle of doing what I want, when I want. And, you know, potentially have to dodge some cars. But in reality, like, all these people feed me their scraps, I'm fine. To live in someone's apartment in Boston.
Wow. you make a really good point about the paperwork. And what about quarantine? You can't just bring an island dog in, can you?
Yeah, I should have asked more questions because I was very confused. I was like, oh yeah, that one's been adopted. And it went, lo and behold, by just two 20-somethings who, she was a very sweet dog, don't get me wrong.
I'm sure.
But, and then there was one who was always hanging around that had no collar and, but was still very friendly. But yeah. It was so funny. It's so funny to know that that happens in a lot of different places because I've heard the same thing about Cuba, like I said, certainly in Bali. And just the reality of how that, at least in Wisconsin, it would just never work because they'd freeze to death. That there's only certain climates that stray dogs can just thrive.
Yeah.
Potentially. I don't know if they're ever thriving, but maybe they are. I mean, their lives seemed a lot more fun than someone who's just like in a house all day, bored. They were very friendly. They're very docile.
Well, that's interesting. But, you know, dogs still fight.
Oh, they did.
And
there was a dog fight. I slept through it. But I woke up on our last night, and Mike's like, because I can sleep through anything. And Mike's like, did you not hear the dog fight that happened on our porch?
Goes, oh, my.
He's like, there could be a dead dog out there right now. Oh. And I said, no, there's not. And there wasn't.
Good.
But they had broken stuff, and they had, and he told one of the guys, like the groundskeepers or whatever, he goes, oh yeah, that happens all the time. They just fight with each other and move on.
See, maybe an apartment in Boston wouldn't be such a bad thing.
Maybe.
If you don't want to be you have to, having to look for scraps and stuff, I don't know, it's kind of a, eh.
But in the warmer states here, because I still think there's just not a lot of stray dogs. Like, you don't, I think it's a very different, like a cultural shift when you go to a place where it's just very normal to have a bunch of stray dogs versus, you know, I think one of the five professions, you know, as a child under five is like police officer, teacher, doctor, dog catcher. Like,
I thought you were going to say veterinarian.
Or veterinarian too. But also, like, you're like, oh, the pound. Like, it's like this thing in childhood memory of whether it's like 101 Dalmatian or whatever, that like, there's a dog catcher and this is, we can't just have stray dogs running around. And so when you go somewhere new, that's a very normal thing. Cause I don't think Florida, Texas, Arizona, I still don't think they have stray dogs. I mean, that's where most of the rescue dogs in Wisconsin come from, is like Texas and the South.
But don't forget, we have Americans have a much different attitude. And we're not the only ones. I think the Japanese also are very pet-centric. But we have a much different view of pets and how to treat pets than many, many, many other people around the world. And when you look at what is spent on our pets annually, It's a shocking amount of money. And I you know how much I love animals.
Yeah.
But I think other people from around the world look at us as a country and go, you spend that on a dog and there are children that are hungry?
Yeah. You know?
So it's...
I wonder, so you said Japanese. You don't think Europe?
I'm sure. But I think a lot more island cultures, and probably, not that there aren't people who don't care about their pets or have
pets.
But they
live outside.
But they live outside.
But they can live outside.
There's that too.
Yeah, it was interesting. I certainly was tempted with some of them. Like, well,
oh, maybe, you know, bring one home for Cliffy?
Sibling, and Mike shut down that.
That's probably good. And I think Cliff deserves all of your attention.
He's certainly happy to be home, I think.
Is he?
Debbie took very good care of him.
I'm
but,
sure.
So I think I'm now third, actually fourth favorite.
Oh, no, is it?
I think I'm fourth. Mike. Debbie is third. Mike is second. And food is still first.
Oh, well, he's a dog.
Of course.
He's a dog.
But yeah, so I guess this went a different direction than I thought I was going to. But Winston the French Bulldog, he's very cute.
Well done, Winston.
Well done, Winston.
Yes.
21st Annual National Dog Show. Congratulations.
Very exciting.
All right. When we come back, we're going to talk with Packers and why I thought, in reality, I thought last night's game was not so bad. But that's just me. Maybe I've lowered my expectations already. All right. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
You can teach dogs to do that. You can only train elephants.
Because I need a friend now.
I need a friend now. Yeah.
I'm going to buy me a dog.
A dog here over Fido Spot.
Six, seven, hike!
Right.
I'm gonna buy me a-
Who doesn't love laser tag? iCombat gives you that and so much more. It's a real-life video game experience. iCombat's perfect for birthday parties, special events, corporate team building, or just blasting away at your friends. iCombat at 1023 Spring City Drive off Sunset. For more info, go to iCombatWaukesha.com. iCombat is a proud sponsor of the Black Shirt Football radio broadcast. Gear up, squad up, prepare for iCombat laser tag.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and you...
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.